Hi everyone, thanks for joining us. It's the Postcast, the Racing Post's weekend preview in partnership with Tote Fantasy. I'm Bruce Millington and the panel this week consists of Graham Rodway, Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson, and for the first time in absolutely ages, I used to do shows with her all the time, but she's got too big and too important now. It's Nick Luck this and all the other highfalutin stuff she does, but she's deigned to come back and do a Postcast. Welcome back, Maddie Playall. How are you, Maddie?
Yeah, really good, Bruce. I was on a couple of weeks ago with DJ. I think we did okay in the fantasy game, so fingers crossed for the same again.
Okay, yes, we will be trying to win the Tote Fantasy and also try and come out on top of the Racing Post Private League. Have we ever managed that, Jamie?
No, we have a near perfect record of cashing but not winning our league. Last week would have been the opportunity because the winner of the league didn't even make it into the pays. So it was a soft enough week for the Racing Post lot, but we did all right. We had a couple of seconds and thirds. We were unlucky with Ancient Times, but we were there or thereabouts, but not quite.
Okay, we're going to do even better this week. We're going to smash it. Here's what's coming up on the show. It is one of those Saturdays jammed between Epsom and Royal Ascot where you wouldn't say feel the quality, but it's very competitive. 4 at Haydock, 3 at Beverley on ITV. We'll be getting the fancies for all of those. We'll see what else people fancy this weekend away from the glare of the TV cameras. We'll get the naps and we'll have a crack at Tote Fantasy. But we start off with four races. No, there's 5 races from Haydock Park. What am I on about? 5 races at Haydock Park on ITV. And we will kick off with the first of those, which is the 1:15. And that is the Sky Bet Achilles Stakes. It's a listed race over 5 furlongs. And we are on the main ITV channel. 10 runners, as with a lot of these races, fairly wide open. Equilateral is 100-30 favourite. Regional 7-2. Prince of Pillow 6-1. Razzle 7. And it's 9-1 and bigger the rest. And G-Rod, hopefully you've still got a voice after singing Bubbles and West Ham are massive on Wednesday night. Congratulations on your beloved team conquering Europe. Can you conquer the 1:15 at Haydock?
Yeah, it was a massive night, wasn't it, on Wednesday, Bruce? What a night for the Hammers to first trophy in... I've forgotten. Equilateral for me, the favourite, I think, is hard to get away from here. Obviously, best piece of form in the race recently was at the track last time out when second in the Temple Stakes behind Dramatised. The time is very solid. I think that race might work out quite well come Royal Ascot. I quite fancy Mitt Bahi, who was behind him, to run one of the King's Stand at big price. I think the slight concern, if you're back in Equilateral, of course, is that in that race in the Temple, the first four all raced up the near side, and there appeared to be a huge bias towards the near side, and he was definitely in the right spot. However, who's to say that that won't happen again here, Bruce? And he's drawn 10, isn't he? So he's drawn again towards the stand side. And Frankie Dettori's been booked up on this lad since early in the week. So no doubt Charlie Hills has fancied him quite strongly. Frankie obviously is absolutely flying at the moment. And everything that he rides on Saturdays is getting smashed, isn't it? So I think this Equilateral will go favourite and I hope that he'll win.
I see Equilateral Frankie has been booked to ride Desert Crown at Royal Ascot. Does that outrage you, Maddie, or do you think you understand why they'd go for the best available?
I mean, it's been highly publicised. Richard Kingscote, who's obviously ridden a lot of those stout horses, high-profile ones like Passenger in the Dante and Desert Crown, of course, at Sandown, he's not had a great couple of weeks. And that's by his own admission as well. I wouldn't say he necessarily did anything huge wrong, but things just haven't really fallen his way. So I feel sorry for him a little bit, but equally I can understand why Connections have opted to make the change. And, you know, few better riders around, none at the moment than Frankie Dettori himself.
I'm hoping, and I actually reckon, that Frankie will reverse his decision. I hope he does. Racing can't afford to lose Frankie. Meanwhile, up to more pressing matters, Maddie. Who wins the 1:15 at Haydock?
Yeah, G-Rod mentioned a couple of things there which I want to jump on. The first is that obviously Dettori has been booked and that's going to mean the horse is going to be very well supported, which for me means that he's probably going to be too short a price. I see the appeal, it's obvious, and the draw in 10 is going to be a big help because I am worried that draw bias is going to impact my selection, my initial selection in this race, which was Razel, because he's drawn in one. You remember last year he beat Dragon Symbol in this race. Now, Dragon Symbol was very classy indeed. There's no horses of that calibre in this race this time around. And Razel is a hold-up horse. So in theory, that should help him get away across to the near side to negate that draw bias, but it's still going to be tough. His Palace House run earlier on in the season was pretty good as well. So he just needs to bounce back from that below par run at Temple Stakes. So for me, with him, I'm going to be judging to see what price he gets and how that appeals. 13-2, maybe not. But if he drifts out a few more points, then I could be getting involved there. The other one to suggest is one of the old rogues, Arecibo. He's drawn in six and he's been running pretty well by his standards. Is a bit in and out and needs things to fall right. But again, good form over this sort of course and distance. Was third in the Temple to King's Lynn last year. A reproduction of that could see him go very close here.
Thank you very much. 150 Haydock, the Sky Bet Reverence Handicap. 6 furlongs, 14 runners, 7-2 Fav, all the King's men. 9-2 Mr. Wagyu, 9-1 Lethal Nymph, 9-1 Silver Samurai. 10 bar. Maddie, we'll stick with you for first crack at this. This looks tough to me.
Yeah, really tough. Lots of old favourites in there. The one who I thought was quite interesting was Ratia for Julie Camacho. She's inherited this horse. She's had him for quite a while now from Marcus Trigoning, and we often see how she manages to get the best out of these sprinters. He was a very good fifth at Newmarket last time behind Probe. I think that's a strong piece of form after a 155-day break. And I just think he's probably a good few points too short at 11-1. He's on a mark of 90. He's been hovering around there for some time, but it's a mark that he can be competitive off. And he's still, relatively speaking, quite unexposed in these sorts of contests. He is drawn five. So once again, if that bias is in play, he'll need to scoot up towards the stand side rail. But I think he's going to run a big race with James Doyle aboard.
OK, G-Rod, what do you make of this one?
I thought this was easy.
Oh, great.
Mr. Wagyu.
Well, can I just say before you start, Tom Park was on last week and he loves Mr. Wagyu. And he pointed out this incredible stat about how Mr. Wagyu's form in June and July absolutely leaves everything else behind. So are you going to, is that the clue here?
Well, I mean, he obviously did a lot more work than I do. I just looked at it and thought, well, that'll win Mr. Wagyu. And last week, wasn't it, at Epsom? I assume that's when Parky was on, wasn't it?
That was
talking about. Yeah. I mean, he ran an amazing race. He was drawn out wide. He ran widest of everything the whole way, coming around Tattenham Corner, and they went a really bonkers pace, resulting in a time that was really fast. And he was the only one of those that helped set the gallop who was still able to hang on in there and make the places. I mean, all of those that finished there had been Badgery and I remember what was second. I mean, they came from further back. They had more conservative rides. It was an absolutely huge run by Mr. Wagyu, pointed that he's coming right back to form. He's been rated in the hundreds in the past. He's now running off just 96. He's drawn in stall 11, right towards this stand side rail. He's very uncomplicated horse. You should bang him out and go very fast. He's got a huge chance. Course and distance winner. What's not to like about Mr. Wagyu? Be steak for dinner on Saturday night, Bruce.
Oh, lovely. Well, Parky loves Mr. Wagyu so much that he's thinking of getting another dog because he's already got Kato and he's going to call it Mr. Wagyu. How about that?
He should be called Corto, really, though, shouldn't he?
He should, really. I agree, yeah. I suppose in the dog presumably would wag his tail. It'd be quite a good name. Anyway, Jamie, let's bring you in, the voice of reason. What do you fancy here?
Well, I mean, I don't know whether I've been drinking the Parky Kool-Aid or not, but I'm firmly with G-Rod here with Mr. Wagyu. Also, from a fantasy point of view, he's just, especially in these months, June to August, you know, he ultimately is a fantasy manager's dream because he always hits the frame. You can probably use your stewards on him if you're not going to use it elsewhere. And ultimately, he's going to pick you up some points. So for me, there's nothing to knock other than the fact he maybe might have had a small bit of a hard race last time. But, you know, he's an 8-year-old. He takes his racing well. I think he has by far and away the fewest question marks of these. And he was definitely going to be one of my fantasy team.
Oh, one question I wanted to ask you about fantasy, Jamie. Can you use Stewards Inquiry and Stable Star on the same horse?
No, you can't. You've got to use them on different horses. Basically, just to try and stop you sort of guaranteeing points. You know, you've still got to take a small bit of risk.
Okay, matey. No probs. Right then, let's move on to 2:25 at Haydock on Saturday, which is the Better Betting with Sky Bet handicap over a mile and four. 10 runners, another wide open race. 7-2 fav is Cumulonimbus, which must be some sort of cloud. 5-1 is Good Show. 13-2 Get Shirty. 8-1 Dark Pine. And Forza Orta. 10 bar G Rod.
Yeah, this is very, very difficult. Okay. And I'm not overly confident. I could see a good run from Good Show, but I think a bigger price, maybe Forza Orta. Is the one that interested me the most. Won on fast ground last year at York, has run a lot on soft ground since, and then turned back up at York last time out. I would finished in midfield, ran a lot better than the actual finishing position suggests. I mean, he was only just over three lengths behind the winner. He travelled quite nicely into the race. Just thought he shaped like he was coming back to form. Hopefully, there's a little bit of rain forecast at Haydock, but should still be on the far side of good. I think that will suit him. There's this alarm bell. You know, you have this sort of intuition. I think everyone has it, don't they? You've got this little voice in your head saying, Forza Orta's not going to win. You know, in the back of my mind, that's all that keeps saying, Forza Orta's not going to win, though, is he? You know, because he's the sort of
horse that can sort that sort of thing out.
He's the sort of horse who runs well without winning, isn't he, Forza Orta? I think that's what it is. I mean, in the back of my head, just saying, look, he's going to run well. He probably won't win. So I'll probably back him each way. But very, very difficult race, Bruce, this one.
Okay, Cumulonimbus, by the way, are menacing-looking multi-level clouds extending high into the sky in towers or blooms. Who do you think is going to tower over their rivals here, Maddie?
Yeah, we spoke about this race yesterday on What a Shout, and it is really, really difficult. And I ended up, by process of elimination, coming down on Forza Orta 2. So both of us, myself and G-Rod, in his camp, he's not been running great recently, but is back down to quite a nice mark. And I think this is a race of two halves. It's a race where plenty of them are quite slow. They don't have a great turn of foot for a mile and a half horses. And then the only one who has got that little bit of speed and turn of foot is Dark Pine, who is by Dandy Man and probably won't stay out this trip. So Forza Orta was the one I ended up landing on. I think 8-1's a fair price. I'd keep an eye on Live Your Dream, who's going to be returning from a very long absence for Louis Stewart and Saeed Bin Saror. He's very classy, recorded some night RPRs a couple of years ago, but probably too big a ask for him to win this. But yeah, process of elimination says Forza Orta is going to go close.
Do we have three votes for Forza Orta, Jamie?
I mean, in an incredibly boring turn of events, I agree fully with Maddie on both of those shouts. Live Your Dream was a really eye-catching entry here. You'd suspect maybe 1-mile-4 was a little on the sharp side for him, especially at Haydock. So basically, by process of elimination, came down on Forza Orta for all the reasons stated. So I won't reiterate them. But yeah, it sounds like Forza Orta is an absolute shoo-in for our fantasy team. And the good news is he's only 750 guineas. So I think that's a lovely trade all round.
Perfect. OK, we move on to the 3 o'clock, which is the Sky Bet Leicester Piggott Stakes. Better known as the Pinnacle back in the day. Group three for fillies and mares. 1 mile, four furlongs the trip. And even though we've only got six runners, it's still difficult. 11-4 the field. Modara is favourite. Then it's 3-1 Time Lock, 4-1 Mimikyu, 15-2 Nactros, 8-1 Sea Silk Road, and 16-1 Poptronic. And Maddie, you're going first.
Yeah, if you know me at all, you'll be very unsurprised that I'm going for the German trained horse Nactros. These fillies and mares, you want a peak Racing Post rating them of around 108. And she's achieved that. She achieved that last time out. She also achieved that when she won the Italian Oaks last year. Her last run was over 2 miles, but she has got a bit of speed as well. She's got a decent turn of foot. Earlier on in the season as well, back in October, she was actually second to a very good 4-year-old filly called India, who went on to win a very good Group 3 in France. And I just think it's that factor of our pundits in this country aren't necessarily familiar with the German form. They're not really sure what to make of it. And to be honest, I'm not really sure where Natrosa's ceiling is. But I do think that on her best form, she's up with the best of these. And I don't think there's a standout performer in the race. So at around the 15-2 mark, she makes plenty of appeal. It's interesting, this market's changed a bit since yesterday. Modara, who probably has the most to find on the figures, is the lowest officially rated in this field off 97. It's now the favourite. I couldn't really have Minkyu, even though I think she sets the standard, because I think she should have won last time, even if she was just getting to her peak and wasn't given a hard time. We need to see her replicate that one big performance at Doncaster. She hasn't done that yet. Lots of people like Time Lock too, but I think stay with the proven form, stay with the ratings, and Naturis and Sea Silk Road could run big races, but it's the German filly for me, Peter Shergan and Relly Pilyachuk.
Thank you very much, Maddie. You do love a German. Right then, G-Rod, do you like the German filly or are you going to go elsewhere?
I got absolutely no idea how good the German filly is. I think Maddie hits the nail on the head, really. I mean, a lot of people will look at these horses and, you know, I mean, what you know, I don't know how good F. Unzo is, the horse they finished second to last time, or Le Chogia, you know, they finished fourth to the time before. You know, I mean, it's a complete guess, you know, for me anyway.
You've got to do a bit of research, G-Rod. You've got to
It's all on the Racing Post website.
Well, not for me. I would much rather stick with what I know, like most people in Britain, I expect, which may well mean that Maddie gets a bigger price about Natros. Surely this is just going to be another one for Frankie, isn't it? And John and Thady Gosden. I like Mimic You. I think that she looked very good last season when she won the Park Hill at Doncaster. Yeah, I mean, she came to win the race at York last time and hung a little bit and almost threw it away, got worried out of it by a River of Stars. It was first time up. The ground was very, very fast. And I thought it was a very good run. She was giving weight away to River of Stars. Now, I know she's got to give weight away to this lot again, but she might just have a class edge here. Her sister or half-sister, one of them, was called Journey, and she won this race. And she was a bit of a funny old character, Journey, as well. She had her quirks, but then she suddenly took off. As she got older, she got better and better and better, and went on to win a load of races. And I think Mimic You could be the same. So could be a double for Frankie, and we'll have those bookies on the run if he gets it.
Okay, thank you very much, G-Rod. Jamie, what's your view on this one?
Now, fortunately, I'm finally going to disagree with with the team, having been in violent agreement thus far, in that also having backed Mimic You last week when I saw her price drift out so much. She should have won that. That was over 1.6 miles, but she looked like she needed every inch of that and maybe more. So over 4 miles, I'd far rather be with Time Lock, who was beaten the neck by Mimic You at Haydock at this meeting last June. That was a novice stake, giving £6 to Mimic You. She's in receipt of weight this time. She's in receipt of £5 from Mimic You. And I see no reason why at 1.4 miles, it won't be much more up Time Lock Street. She ran a really encouraging race back this season at Goodwood. She travelled lovely and beautifully into the race and then just didn't find anything at a time where Harry and Roger Charlton's weren't running all that well. And now they're back, so they're not still firing on all cylinders, but they're very much running better. They've 4 from 12 in the last 2 weeks. So I think that yard form completely goes away as a concern. And I think Time Lock is a very good favourite here.
Oh, very, very fluent today, Jamie. I know you're doing Ed Chamberlain's media studies course today, aren't you? Your media training. are you putting the stuff you've learned this morning into practice on the show already?
No, because the key point they always make is prepare. And I've come in very, very unprepared. So,
What else have you picked up from it?
I've picked up that Richard Hoyles is a magnificent speaker, and that Kevin Blake, when he first went on RTE1 on his first ever TV appearance, made an absolute horlicks of it, so there's hope for us all.
Excellent stuff. Right then, I think we're done for Haydock. No, we're not. We've got one more. 3:35. It's the Sky Bet John of Gaunt Stakes. Of course it is. Group 3, 7 furlongs, 6 runners, wide open yet again. Jumbie 11-4. The Astrologist 11-4. El Caballo 3-1. The Wizard of Eye 5-1. Borman 12-1. And 100-1 is Gorak and Graham Rodway. What are your confidence levels like on the John of Gaunt?
I'm not particularly confident in this race, Bruce. It was a very difficult race. I've got more foreign muck form at the top of the market, haven't we? The Astrologist.
Foreign muck form. What are you about?
The Astrologist been running at Ascot in Australia, and I don't know, where's this? Sandown. It's run at Sandown, not an Ascot, apparently, the Astrologist, but not in England, of course. Maidan is getting beaten by Dania ahead. And then, you know, turns up in the Duke of York, gets thrashed by Azure Blue first time out. Yeah, I mean, maybe needed the run. You know, Leon and Troy Corstens, absolutely never heard of them. No idea who they are. I did actually researched them. Apparently, they've won loads of Grade Ones in Australia and used to train.
You have some idea about them, then, don't you? Well, all this xenophobia going on. Why are you all foreign things?
Well, you know, you're lucky Bertie ain't here. That's all I've got to say. You know, he loves a foreign runner.
Who do you fancy? I'm not interested in who you fancy now that you disregard. You haven't even looked into the 11 to 4 joint favourite. But tell us anyway.
I mean, I think he'll stay seven. According to he's won a couple of races in Australia over seven. And Ryan Moore obviously thinks he's good because he's stuck with him. But yeah, I mean, Jumbie's coming back in tripping well. But I mean, just look at the top of the market. And you're like, you know, Jumbie has been well beaten on his last, God knows how many starts. The Astrologist, miles behind last time out of York. El Caballo has been beaten 12 and lengths and 24 lengths on his last two starts. You know, so, I mean, they're the top three in the market. The Wizard of Eye was ninth last time out. I mean, Boardman's the bet, isn't he? Boardman, surely, at a much bigger price. He's at least comes into the race banging form. And when he won at Chester last time, he won by a wide margin in what was quite a good time figure for the grade. Now, I know it was only a Class 2 handicap, and this is obviously a group race, but unless one of these ones at the top is as good as they've looked, you know, in the past and comes right back to form, I'd much rather stick with the horse that I know is coming in good nick. I'll tell you what, Bruce. Yeah. I wouldn't throw Gorek out either at a ridiculous price.
At hundreds,
right? Because again, that race where he ran last time over course and distance, that was a good time for a handicap, and I can't have him being 100 to 1 shot each either. So the two outsiders in the field for me, Boardman and Gorek, at a ridiculous price.
Okay, that's the Alf Garnett view. Maddie, thank goodness you're here, the international racing lover, to offset G-Rod. Who do you fancy here?
Yeah, there won't be any surprises. And I will say now, the Astrologist yesterday was my nap on what a shout. How many of these would go close in two group ones? None of them, I don't think. The official ratings tell you that he's far, far superior. Second in that Alquaz to Dania by a head. Also won the Newmarket Handicap, really good Group 1 over the straight six at Flemington, and has winning form over seven furlongs. Ryan Moore's stuck with him, as G-Rod said. That's a big vote of confidence. And hey, his seventh in the Duke of York last time was a pretty good run. I think Assure Blue and Highfield Princess are very, very talented. Marshman's not a bad horse either. And Art Power, who was behind the Astrologist, has since gone on to win a Group 3. So I think this horse should definitely be clear favourite. It's not a very good race, and all the form points towards him winning. Let's hope he can put it all together and improve from his first effort on these shorts.
Excellent. Jamie, what's your view here?
I tentatively sided with Boardman at the prices, but I think for fantasy purposes, if we have a bit of budget left over, I definitely would be with the Astrologist of those at the front of the market, just given that I think that his so the UK debut run was better than it looked, as Maddie just said. And ignore these Aussie sprinters at your peril. They might not do middle distance racing very well, but they do sprinters incredibly.
You want to know the record of Australian horses in Britain recently?
No, don't ruin this with facts, G-Rod.
it's 5 for 35, 14% minus £15.33 to £1 level stakes. So it's a bit of a myth that Australian horses dominate when they come over.
But they're all running in really good company, G-Rod, which this isn't. Yeah. So I think that might throw against it. Now, normally with Tote Fancy, if two of the experts go for one horse and one goes for another, we go with the one that are two. But I very rarely step in and try and influence what goes on here. But I'm absolutely backing Maddie with the Astrologist here.
Boom.
Right then. No, well, we'll see. We'll get the team in a minute. But before that, we will look at three TV races from Beverley.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Postcast, sponsored by Tote Fantasy. Bruce Millington, Maddie Plough, Graham Rodway, and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson, looking ahead to three races on Saturday from Beverley on ITV. First of which is the 205. It's the Hillary Needler Trophy, a filly's condition stakes over 5 furlongs. And after those 5 wide open races at Haydock, we've now got a warm favourite, Midnight Affair, 5-4. And then it's 4-1 Ziggy's Phoenix, 11-2 Flora of Bermuda, 13-2 Never Fear, 14 bar. Maddie, you're going first.
Thanks, Bruce. I'm going for a big price as well. Midnight Affair, look, she's very, very short at the top of the market. But she did get beaten at Newmarket on her debut, and I didn't think she handled the track that well there. First start, so I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. But Beverly, of course, undulating and is quite a tough track. So not one for me at 5-4. I'm going down for Alpha Moonstone for Craig Lidster, a shrewd trainer who had a horse finished third at Epsom last weekend, ran very well. This filly's 20-1, and on face value, her form is not great, admittedly. She has something to find, but she wasn't challenged when winning at all at Catterick last time. She's very fast, she's very precocious, and they're the sort that her trainer tends to excel with. And I think that's what you need in this race. You need horses that know their job and that have that innate speed. Several of these have looked like they'd improve for their first runs, but I think Alpha Moonstone is just going to be absolutely on it at Beverly tomorrow. And I just think she's far too big a price, given that she's already a winner. She's probably going to come forward again, and she looks like she should handle the track. Others might improve past her in time, but I think she's far too big a price. And yeah, I think she's a cracking each way bet. Alpha Moonstone.
Jolly good. Maddie pulls out a 20-1 shot. Alpha Moonstone. Graham Rodway, who are you going to go for?
Would you believe? Yeah, I agree with Maddie here. This is the one that I was going to tip as well. I thought I'd be the only one on here, but
you've had your thunder stolen.
I have, yeah. Yeah, never heard of the trainer, Craig Lidster, must admit. But
he's got one of those surnames that's a nickname, isn't it? You'd be like, all right, it's the Lidster.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it? Maybe wears like a nice hat, you know, because it's like a hat, isn't it? A lid, you know, like a.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah, Alpha Moonstone. Yeah, it was very, very impressive when she won last time at Catterick. Absolutely floated across the ground inside the final furlong, was going away at the finish. Beatles, who could be named after me, Grey, quite easily. First time out at Chester, you can complete throwout run because Mr. Break by a mile had no chance behind Ziggy's Phoenix. Don't understand why this horse is 20-1, apart from the fact that the Lidster trains it. Her.
Oh. Maddie says the Lidster does well with these type of horses, so I don't think anyone should worry about that. Right then, 2 votes for the 20-1 shot Alpha Moonstone in the 205. Let's move on to the 240 at Beverly. It's the Bet 365 handicap, 7.5 furlongs, 10 runners back to competitive betting. 4-1 Hugo Gregory, 5-1 Miss Britain, 11-2 United Front, 7 Ascot Adventure, 9 bar. And Jamie, you said you wanted to tip on this race. Why?
Well, it's more just as my sort of ongoing love of David O'Mara takes increasing hold of me and increasing hold of my bank balance. I couldn't leave Ascot Adventure unbacked here off a mark of 82. It's the third start for David O'Mara, and you wonder when is the time that he wants it to win. This looks a perfect opportunity off a mark of 80. Sorry, he runs off here. And I just think that Ascot Adventure will be perfectly suited by the test that he gets here, and put your trust in the master, O'Mara.
Okay. Graham Rodway, do you agree with Jamie?
No, I think this is one of the bets of the weekend runs in this. You go Gregory for Tim Easterby. Absolutely loves Beverly. I think he's won 3 of his 4 races at the track. His best trip is 7.5 furlongs, and he was running well over 1.5 miles earlier in the season. They dropped him back to this distance last time out, just 10 days ago on fast ground at the track, and he was very unlucky not to win. He'd beaten just the nose after going for home plenty soon enough. I thought, I expect this time from stall one, he'll be bang there the whole way. Couldn't have wished for a better draw for all who races the way that he does. Hopefully got on that far side rail, and I don't think he'll be for catching this time. You go Gregory off a £3 higher mark than last time. Really good time that was over the course and distance. Quite confident on Hugo Gregory here.
And Maddie.
Yeah, I'm happy to let the others guide on this one. Didn't have a hugely strong opinion. Like Jamie, I thought Ascot Adventure had good claims, and United Front was another who I thought could run quite well, but happy to leave it alone pretty much, Bruce.
Righto, we'll see if Maddie leaves the 315 alone. It's the Bet365 two-year-old trophy. A condition stakes over 5 furlongs. We've got 7 runners, and Cuban Slide is 11-4 favourite from Bombay Bazaar, who is 3-1, as is Fusterlandia. And then we've got 4-1 Room Service and 16-1 and Bigger the Rest. Maddie, have you got fancy anything here? There's a lot of speedy looking two-year-olds. Which one do you think will come out on top?
Yeah, I have quite a strong view on this race, Bruce, and we'll find out a little bit more about the extent of that later on in the show. But Cuban Slide, for me, is a ridiculous favourite. Watch the race he won at Musselburgh last time. Just bizarre. Really, really strange. He dwelt, lost loads of lengths, never really looked to be travelling. The others all seemed to go too fast. And then he came clear and won really, really impressively. But if you look at our analysis, even our experts didn't really know what to make of it. And I just think, given that he looked so uncomfortable and out of his comfort zone early, this is probably not the race for him over 5 furlongs at Beverley. He's clearly very talented, but I would just have a note of caution about him at the prices. Much prefer Bombay Bazaar, winner over this course and distance last time, very comfortably. That's always going to play into his favour. Richard Fahey last won this race in 2019 with a decent type, Summer Sands. I think Bombay Bazaar should definitely be favourite on what he's achieved, and the quality with the way that he's been winning was sent off favourite last time. So he was clearly expected to build on his debut, and I think he's going to come forward again. Room Service was a big price on debut and managed to win for Kevin Ryan. But again, I think if he was probably good enough, then he would have been much shorter for that. He's going to need to improve. He can do so, but it shouldn't be enough to beat Bombay Bazaar.
Paddy, very keen on Bombay Bazaar. Are you keen on anything here, G-Rod?
Yeah, I think if you want to see Daylight Robbery in action, then go back and watch Fusterlandia's debut, because the horse went through the race like a champion, travelled beautifully, went clear, had the race won, all ends up, and then Cold Mine came out of the pack and produced the most obscenely fast finish to catch Fusterlandia near the line with the pair miles clear to rest. Time stacks up really well. I think maybe what happened there was Fusterlandia probably ended up chasing too strong a gallop and probably went a little bit too soon and was vulnerable late on. Don't think Kevin Stott made the same mistake here. And of course, that was 6 furlongs. This is a stiff 5. Don't expect that to be any problem considering how well we went through that race. Richard Hannon always has his horses improved from first time to second. He's not won this race in the last 10 years, but he has had 2 horses placed, and he's won the Hillary Needler too. So he definitely targets these northern northern two-year-old races. They've got a very solid chance for, of course, the Ammo Racing. All their juveniles have been absolutely flying this season, and I think this is one of their better ones. So for Stalandia for me.
Thank you very much. That's the TV action. Don't go away. Loads more Weekend Wisdom coming right up.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Here we go then, the final part of the postcast. Bruce Millington, Maddie Playle, Graham Rodway, and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. We're going to have a look at the Tote Fantasy game in just a sec. Before that, and without giving your naps away, is there anything else you think that the listeners should be back in this weekend? Jamie Benson.
Well, if I spoke about being unprepared earlier, this is where it truly comes home to roost. I couldn't even tell you where the rest of the racing is.
Okay, I'm sure G-Rod's had a bigger study up. What have you got for us?
Yeah, I quite like a couple at Lingfield in the evening where they're racing on turf, which they don't always.
Saturday night tends to be turf night at Lingfield.
Well, yeah, sometimes they have a few all-weather races and they mix it up, don't they, which, you know, just confuse us. But, yeah, you know, can't beat a nice night down at Lingfield, that's for sure. And I think Magical Mile will win the 7:45 there. I was at Sandown when this all finished second last time on Brigadier Gerard night. Was behind all, that was given a beautiful ride by Ryan Moore, one of Gary Moore's, can't remember its name, but it was massively improving. Awesome, was a short price favourite. The front four came nicely clear of the rest that day. I think the Sandown form will be a lot stronger than the sorts of horses he's going to be facing in this Lingfield event. Quick ground, mile two furlong, should be absolutely ideal for Magical Mile. Benoit Della Sayette, one of the best named jockeys in the weighing room, takes the ride. And I've just got to find the other one. I thought it was later on in the card. No, sorry. It's 7:15 at Lingfield. I thought it was the 8:45. 7:15 at Lingfield is the staying race there. And as you know, I often I do the Racing Post ratings for the staying division. So got a bit of a handle on these horses. The race that ran last time at Lingfield, which Easy Equation won, the third was Cherry Cola. Those two reopposed. There was 3/4 a length behind them that day. I'm absolutely convinced Cherry Cola will reverse the places here with Easy Equation. They went very, very hard through the early part of that race, and for the majority of it, Cherry Cola looked like he was going to win. Easy Equation was under pressure the whole way up the straight, and I think they just got tired in front, and Easy Equation was just able to nab them near the line and be very, very surprised, unless, of course, they go bonkers again, which I doubt they will this time. There's only 6 in it. Be very surprised if Easy Equation can beat Cherry Cola, and I think that line of form from Lingfield will be strong enough to win this race. So it's Cherry Cola in the 7:15 at Lingfield.
Okay, thanks very much. Blimey, I tell you what, Jude, it's even confused Lingfield themselves by the look of it, because I'm just on the website now, and it's rum and reggae night tomorrow at Lingfield. They often have very...
Well, I can have a bit of that, Bruce.
Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? But at the bottom, when it tells you all about it, you know, enjoy yourself in a Caribbean-themed outfit, and there's steel bands and all sorts of cocktails, it says, please be aware this fixture will be run on the all-weather surface. But that flies in the face of what
that always used to be a great feature when I used to go racing as a boy. There was always a steel band everywhere you went, and you don't see them so much now, do you? Does it have to be a rum and reggae night to get a steel band?
No, it doesn't, but I'm sure they'll be back out for that. And I'll tell you who else I don't see anymore when I go racing is those three blokes who walk around. One's got like a tuba. Do you remember them, G-Rod?
Yes, I do remember them.
There was like three blokes in a sort of jaunty, stripy waistcoats, and they'd have like, one would play a tuba, one would play, I think, the ukulele, and I can't remember what the other one played, but yeah, I don't know whether they've retired or not, but yeah, they were a regular feature for sure. Okay, right then, I think that is it for the other stuff, so we'll tackle the Tote Fantasy now. As always, if you want to know how the game works, it's £7, a brilliant investment. £7 for a lot of fun, loads and loads of great chances to win money. The first prize is definitely worth winning. Go on to tote.co.uk and hit the Tote Fantasy button in the top corner. Jamie, we've got to pick 7 horses in each of the designated races. It's all the TV races apart from the 1:15 at Haydock. So you've been listening and concentrating. Difficult one to pick this week because it's all so wide open. I suppose all the runners are priced, you know, fairly sort of equitably, aren't they? What have you got for us for a draft team?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's some weeks you tend to be playing around a couple of very hot favourites, and other weeks like last week, you're pretty wide open because the racing is so competitive. But this is sort of in the middle where we've had to make a couple of small trade-offs given budget constraints, but I'll see what I can do. Also, Maddie and G-Rod sort of had a couple of key races where they had quite disparate views. So we'll see how I manage to walk that line, probably very unsuccessful.
One of us is going to hate you, bud.
Well, I just warn you, Maddie is far more precious than G-Rod, okay? So just bear that in mind, all right? But go on, away you go.
Right, so 1:50 at Haydock, I've gone for Miss Wagyu for G-Rod. 2:05 at Beverly, both were on Alpha Moonstone, so that's definitely in. And is cheap, and there's only 500 guineas, so that's lovely. 2:25 at Haydock, again, everyone was agreed on Forza Orta, and again cheap at 7:50. So that's... If all the selections were like that, my job would be way easier. And then it all starts to go a bit askew. So I've gone for 2:40 at Beverly, Hugo Gregory for G-Rod, who was one of his sort of stronger fancies, which is great. And then this is where it starts to get a bit contentious. So 3:00 at Haydock, I did have Mimikyu in for G-Rod, but actually we're slightly budget constrained and Nacht Rose is cheaper and was sort of my preference of those two. So we've got Nacht Rose in for...
Good on you, Jamie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm all for that. I didn't like the way G-Rod just dismissed it because it was from Germany.
Well, as much as Maddie might be happy with me there, you'll be unhappy with me now because in the 315 at Beverly, I've gone for Fusterlandia instead of Bombay Bazaar. They're both the same price, so we can have an argument about that afterwards if we like. But then I hopefully save it by in the 335 at Haydock, bringing it home with the astrologist.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Maddie, happy with that?
Yeah, very happy. I'm balanced.
G-Rod?
Well, there's an awful lot of foreign form in there, isn't there? I just had to check. So I thought, well, maybe Fusterlandia's in Germany. Sounds German. No, apparently it's in Cuba. So, anyway, we usually do well in this, don't we? Don't we usually win it? how do people play against us, Jamie? Just, you know,
we've got the Racing Post League, haven't we? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, we're pretty good at normally cashing, at normally sneaking into the money. We normally hit the frame with lots of runners to pick up the steady points. We don't have the big glory shot. Other than when David Jennings is on and absolutely convinces us of something. I think this has got a good chance. We've used all our budget as well, which is great, which is always makes you feel like you're playing it right.
Brilliant. Okay. And Fusterlandia is a museum in Cuba, G-Rod. I've just looked. Weird.
Yeah, it looks really nice, doesn't it? Yeah, Havana. Yeah. Maybe if Fusterlandia wins, maybe I'll be able to afford to go.
That'll be good, wouldn't it? Excellent. Right. I think we're all done, aren't we? Oh, no, we don't. We haven't had the naps yet. Maddie? Who's your best bet of the weekend?
My best bet of the weekend comes in the 3:15 at Beverly. I've already made my case, but Bombay Bazaar, a course and distance winner, is 3-1. He should be favourite. I think there's plenty of juice in that price. Hopefully he'll win.
G-Rod, are you going to take Maddie on?
I'm not. No, I'm going to be having steak for dinner on Saturday night when Mr. Wagyu does the business in the 150 at Haydock. Quite confident about him tomorrow, Bruce.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Jamie, give us one for the each way treble.
Well, we need to do the stable star and stewards in the fantasy.
Oh, God, remiss of me. Sorry, yes, we do. Yeah.
Or the old Henrik Larsson, as you prefer to call it.
Yes, the Henrik Larsson, that gets double points. Sorry, yeah. What do you reckon, Mr. Wagyu for the double?
Either that or the astrologist. Mr. Wagyu would be nice because it's 14 runners, so you get extra points for the number of runners, and you think he's probably going to hit the frame. If we don't stable star him, I would say use your stewards on him because he's going to hit the frame. And if he doesn't win, he might come second or third, which means that you'll boost him finishing position. So I don't know. What do the panel reckon?
I'm happy with that. Okay. I think he's very solid, Mr. Wagyu.
What about the stewards inquiry then? Who are we going to go for?
Why don't we put her on the filly in the Hillary Needler?
Let's put Alpha in there, shall we?
Yeah, why not? She could run well, couldn't she?
Perfect. Yeah. Brilliant.
Sorry, Jamie, that was very remiss of me, that to not have completed the...
If Alpha Moonstone finishes second, then we get double points for the win because of the price, or we get bigger points because of the price.
No. All horses score the same in terms of the points they get. That's why it's sort of about balancing your budget.
Oh, right, okay.
But
you could tell from Jamie's voice there that Jamie had the sort of face that Basil Fawlty has when he has to try and explain something very basic to Manuel.
I was looking the other day and I saw the little icon for the Tote Fantasy. It's like a little unicorn, isn't it? It's great.
Yeah, the old Pegasus, Peggy.
Yeah, that's it.
Although I got told I couldn't call it Peggy after Prince William's news, but there you go.
I don't follow that stuff well enough to get that, but I do want to know what your nap is, Jamie.
Well, I'm following Maddie in napping up one that hasn't made it into our fantasy team, and my nap's going to be Time Lock in the 3 o'clock at Haydock.
Brilliant. That is it. We're all done. Thank you very much to Jamie. Thank you to Maddie. And thanks to G-Rod. Most of all, of course, thank you for listening. We are back next Friday with another podcast and advanced news that there are two podcasts taking place during Royal Ascot Week, one on Monday, one on Friday. So make sure you don't miss those. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the sunshine and hopefully you'll back a few winners.